Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is Joe Beninati. You're listening to NBC Sports Washington's Capitals Face Off podcast. Here's your host, JJ Regan.
Thank you, Joe. Welcome into another edition of NBC Sports Washington's Capitals Face Off podcast. I am your host, the Capitals correspondent, JJ Regan. With me today, he's the Capitals insider. He's the Garth to my Wayne. He's Tarik Al-Bashir. Tarik.
Game on.
Party on. Party on, Tarik.
But didn't they yell game on after they put the net back out?
Party on.
Wasn't it game on when they put the net back in the middle of the street?
What net? What are you talking about?
Wasn't it Wayne's World?
Yes.
Yeah.
There was a net?
When they were playing street hockey.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe I'm making that up.
Yeah. Sounds like it. But anyway, it is the Mailbag Pod. It is the Super Bowl podcast. This is coming to you on Super Bowl Sunday. Tarik, top three Super Bowl snacks.
Whoa.
I know. Going
whoa.
Deep.
Whoa. I'm going to go guacamole.
Ooh, okay.
Oh, yeah. I'm gonna go salsa.
You went guac. So you're two of your top three.
You know that I am a chip person.
Okay. Two of your top three are garnishes.
Yes. And I would say three, which would actually
be a chip because you've just put down two dips.
Well, I mean, but chips are a given. I'm gonna go with seven layer dip. With some good.
You have three dips.
Yes.
You have three dips.
Because I love chips. I eat nachos like four times a week for meals.
This is ridiculous. Okay. The answer, of course, the number one is wings. Without question.
No.
Wings.
Wings are disgusting.
Wait, what? Tarik, you have said a lot of dumb things on this podcast.
They're messy. They're a lot of work for nothing.
Tarik, you have said a lot of dumb things on this podcast.
Boneless wings?
May be.
Boneless wings, maybe. But like real wings, get that.
Oh, my gosh. We're off to a roaring start here. I don't know if I can make it through this podcast. I'm so disgusted at you. I thought we were going to get into a fist fight about the
dude, they did yell game on in Wayne's World. Get back to your Super Bowl.
Right. That. Food thing. That. Okay. You. All right. You are correct, I guess. The question that separates families that is more controversial than
we're getting into politics here
than anything else is whether you dip your wings in ranch or blue cheese.
I mean, I'm not a wing guy, but. And I don't dip them in either. I actually use the blue cheese or the ranch to dip my carrots or celery sticks.
Do you eat carrots and celery sticks?
Yeah. I don't go into a restaurant and order wings. If someone else orders wings for the table, I'll have a couple.
Oh, those wings are so disgusting from the man who eats Taco Bell after every single Caps game.
Every game.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, so it's the Mailbag Pod, meaning that you, the listener, get to decide today's topics and what we will talk about today. More trade deadline talk. We're going to talk about some line combinations. And we're going to talk about how the team's new young guns have fared this season. We're going to start off with the frequent contributor, Greg Christian. He wants to know, for your podcast listeners who haven't been able to make it to Kettler, I think it would be nice if you'd explain the difference between a practice and a morning skate.
Well, there's a lot of differences. They're two wholly separate things for the most part. I mean, you know, a practice has more intensity for the most part. It should have more intensity. It typically goes an extra 15 to 30 minutes in duration. And that is when players work more on specific things as a team. You know, the practice begins, and those who've been to Kettler know that there's two rinks here. They actually use each rink in a practice, in an off-day practice. The first time. They start on the Arlington rink, which is the left rink when you walk in, and they do skills stuff. And then they come over to the right side after about 30 minutes, and they work on team stuff. And that is power play. That is breakout. That is, you know, Holtby getting the puck, you know, stopping rim arounds and getting them back out the D. They work on systems on that side. And that's where a lot of that work happens, is in practice. And they go over stuff before they go onto the rink. They go out there where they practice plan, and they talk about things, and they look at some video, and they get, you know, prepared for what they want to what the coaches want to clean up, areas where they see there's problems. Morning skates are quicker. They are more geared towards that night's game. You go over the other team's specialty teams.
Morning skates are held on the morning of
the morning games. Of a game, and that's where you go over the other team's power play, you go over the other team's penalty kill, you go over their systems, who's going well, who needs to be where, in what situations, and then it's more of like a get your blood going kind of just kind of dial in and get ready for that day's game. Now, I know this wasn't the question from Greg, but I'm going to throw it out there. Morning skates are the dumbest thing in the history of Earth. I have no idea why someone thinks that expending 30% of your energy for the day between the hours of 10 and 11 is going to help you perform better at night. Because I'm pretty sure there's science out there, and teams are starting to ditch the morning skate because they realize you're not going to recapture all of that energy in 5 hours. You can go home and take a nap. You can go home and eat chicken wings. You can go home and eat protein shakes. You can go do whatever you want. But the energy you burnt wheeling around the rink at the morning skate, you're not getting that back for the game. And a lot of teams are starting to get away from morning skates. They're making them optional for certain players. The Capitals don't do optional under Barry Trotz. Under Bruce Boudreau, everything was optional. it's not that way under Barry. And look, you can't argue with the results, but I think in the next decade, you're going to see morning skates fade into oblivion.
Morning skates,
which is going to be great for reporters too, because I don't have to wake up so early.
Phenomenal when morning skates are one day a thing of the past, which they will be, except if they say, "Oh, we're going to have an optional skate for three players, and then we haul our butts in here for those three scratches who aren't even going to play in the damn game." But anyway, I digress. Let's move on to Sean Burton. Do you think it's in the Caps' favor to move Grubauer before the trade deadline? Would you go for a puck handling defenseman?
No. Yes, I would go for the D, but I would not trade the goaltender. We have seen time and again Stanley Cup champions go through two goaltenders to get through the tournament. The
Bengals did both of the last 2 years.
Both of the last 2 years. I mean, look, Holtby, knock on wood, is, you know, sturdy and rugged and doesn't miss games due to injury, doesn't scuffle for more than a game at a time, so you don't have to, you know, replace him with anyone else for a week. That said, injuries happen, and we've discussed this before. They don't have an option right now where they can go with a Vitek Vanacek or a Phoenix Copley and say, all right, look, Holtby's out for this round. We're hoping to get him back for the second round. Get in there and try to win. That's not realistic right now in those two prospects' development. And I think having Philip Grubauer still on the roster, I would have zero problem with, you know what, Holtz is out, but Philip – it's your time to shine, man. You've been saying for 2 years you're ready to be a number one. Go show it. And you know who would be the most motivated person on planet Earth? Philip Grubauer. Because if you do well and you help the Capitals win and advance in the playoffs while Holtby is out, guess what happens to your trade value when the season's over?
Yeah.
Whether it ends in the Stanley Cup or not. Teams now have, you know, several weeks to go, hey, you know what, this guy was the best backup in the regular season 2 years ago, was pretty good during the regular season in 17-18, and look what he did in the playoffs.
When we actually saw this a few years ago, Capitals went down 1-0 to the New York Islanders in that series. Brayden Holtby was too sick to play game two. They had to call on Philip Grubauer. Philip Grubauer stepped in and won that game. If you go down 2-0 after both games at home, going into the Islanders, that would be a hard series to come back in. So he was able to step up and get the win. Now, look, I was on the bandwagon for trading Grubauer at the start of the season because I thought having two goalies of this caliber on the roster is a luxury, and the Capitals were not as deep as they have been in years past, and they would need to trade that asset in order to bump up the roster a little bit. But you know what? They're in first place right now. They've shown that they could still afford to have this luxury, so I'm not about to get rid of it because they're going to be a playoff team even without that depth that I thought they needed there. So, no, I would not trade Philip Grubauer at this point. We're going to get to more of your questions right after a word from our sponsor. Welcome back. Tarek, this will be the Kate Trout segment because Kate has two pretty good questions. She writes, "Hey, guys, my name is Kate, and I'm a Cats fan."
Hey, Kate.
In Sabres territory here in upstate New York.
Brave woman.
It's all Eichel all the time. It's all snow all the time. I can't imagine
that. I actually got to talk to Jack Eichel a little bit during All-Star weekend.
Yeah.
Thoughtful, respectful, good answers.
Huh.
I was very, very impressed with him from basically what I had heard and what I witnessed. I'm not going to pretend like you get to know someone in a media scrum talking to him for a few minutes. Very impressed by him.
That's good to hear because he has a very different reputation. But anyway, I digress. She says, "Thanks and keep up the amazing work. I can't get through college without you guys making my mornings better." Well, you know why I needed to make my mornings better, because of what I was doing the night before when I was in college. But anyway, that is a long, long, long time ago, and we could go the whole podcast on my college experiences. Anyway, question one. Do you believe all these line changes are benefiting us? I feel that some consistency is needed in order to have consistent scoring and a true chance for dependability.
I don't have a problem with it. I think Barry Trotz knows when it's time to get into playoff mode, and that's going to be sometime in March, and he's going to get his playoff lines together, and the Caps are going to lose a couple of games, and then he's going to roll out with like 2.5 weeks to go. You're going to go, all right, we're all going to stand there at the glass looking, uh-oh, I think Barry's rolling out his playoff lines, and that's going to be, it's going to be 8-19 back together. Whenever that happens, that's when Barry Trotz is going with his playoff lines. I don't have a problem with it because, look, again, there's always the possibility of injuries, and when you have injuries, you don't want to have to put a line together for the first time, especially in crunch time, in the stretch drive or in the playoffs. You want everyone to have enough information on the other guys in that dressing room where if he's got to go with a line in a crucial third period, you're not looking there and going, I've never skated with this dude before. You want to have that resume, that Rolodex of history with other guys. I don't have a problem with him juggling it now. I am curious to see what he's going to use for his playoff lines. And again, sometimes in a playoff, because of matchups, you have to make adjustments on the fly.
Right.
And you don't want to have to throw together three guys who haven't played together, or 2D who haven't played together.
Everybody loves talking about the lines before every game. Everybody loves picking apart those lines and seeing what the matchups are.
It's also the most overrated thing in hockey.
It is, because you play with different people on the power play. You play with different people on the penalty kill. You play with different people based on the situation.
Busted line changes.
Busted line changes after a power play, after a penalty kill, when you're trying to get other players back on the ice. You play with different players all throughout the game. So the lines don't stay the same, don't stay all that consistent throughout the course of the game.
Definitely matters more in the playoffs.
It matters more in the playoffs, and there will come a point, as you said, in the spring when all of a sudden a few games, a couple weeks before the playoffs, we see some different lines and we go, oh, these lines look serious. And then those lines won't change unless they have to change. So he's going to put some – we'll see some consistency later on in the season. But right now, just trying to find the right matchups, trying to keep things loose over the course of a season. It's a long season. It can get stagnant at times. And I know some people talk about consistency. Lars Eller didn't have much consistency in Montreal.
I mean, look, the Penguins have won two straight Stanley Cups. Go back and look at how much their lines got juggled from month to month.
Right. It's also harder for centers. I think when they talk about consistency, we're talking more about roles for guys like centers who can't go from top lines. It's harder to go from top line center to energy center to checking line center. I think as long as you keep their roles consistent, you can roll through wingers, no problem. So I'm not too worried about it. I get your point, but we will see consistency later on in the season once Trotz figures out what he wants those playoff lines to be. So, and we'll see tune-ups in the last few games leading into the postseason. Question two, do you think we should have more than one fast line? I feel that a lot of other teams are young and fast. We have more kids this year than usual, but we need to match the speed of other teams like the Leafs or Devils. I know sometimes Trotz uses Vrana, Berkey, and Kuzi often, and I think speed is a vital skill we could benefit from.
They don't have enough of it.
Yes.
That's the problem. So if you put all your fast guys on one line, you've slowed down another line.
Yep.
So I know where you're coming at, but if you want to increase the capital speed, you're just going to have to get some faster players next year. And this is not the time to do it now, but you know, as this game gets faster and as this roster turns over, I think you're going to continue to see them get younger and get faster guys. And that's something that's got to happen. But, again, you put all your burners on one line, you've now created a slow line elsewhere.
Right. Because of the depth and the makeup of this team, Trotz has employed a system of putting players with complementary skill sets on a line. You don't see a fast line. You don't see a heavy checking line. You see players with different skill sets
on
the line.
He's spreading out the talent and you know, and she nailed it right there. I mean, if you put Vrana, Kuzi, and Burakovsky in a line, that's a really fast line.
Fast line.
But now you've got Ovechkin, Oshie, and Backstrom on a line, and
less fast.
Less fast.
Yes.
And so you want to have, as you said, complementary players that you want a fast guy, maybe two fast guys on a line, but you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket, to borrow a cliche.
We're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back after a word from our sponsor. Welcome back. Our last question today comes from Daniel Jones. He writes, well, with a handful of new prospects in Vrana, Stevenson, Bally, Juice, how do you think each has been faring so far? Seems to be flashes here and there, but to be expected in their first season. Looking forward to this and the rest of your shows. Thank you, Daniel. Tarek, how do you think the new players have played this year?
That's a great question. I mean, I'll go through them one by one. Jake Vrana has shown flashes of brilliance. He's gone AWOL for weeks at a time, however. And that was the knock on him coming in. That was the knock on him in Hershey. And I think he's going to figure it out. I think the hope is that he will figure it out, but he's got to figure it out.
Yeah.
He's got to figure out how to bring that intensity and use that speed, you know, especially getting to the outside and turning around D-men as opposed to skating into the teeth of the attack. He's got the wheels, he's got the hands, he's got the shot, but the consistency right now is holding him back. Chandler Stevenson is another guy who's got to find that consistency.
Yes,
you know, he's coming off a 2-goal game, best game of his career production wise. But, you know, he had gone 29 games without a goal prior to that, or 28 games, I should say. If you're going to be an NHL forward, you can't go 28 games without a goal.
Right.
Now, some of that is puck luck, some of that is other you know, variables, but that just can't happen. Andrei Burakovsky, man, this is starting to look like a bit of a lost season for him with the injury and, you know, getting scratched and then getting sick. It's really a struggle for him right now, but you know, he's still got, 30-some-odd games to you know, get it together. But I think this might be that season when we're talking about him a couple of years from now. Like, remember, like, when Orlov got hurt and he missed a lot of
– Yeah.
You're like, man, remember that season where we thought he was going to break out and then he got hurt and never really gained any traction? I think this might be that season, unfortunately, for him. Madison Bowie looked like he hit the rookie ceiling a few weeks ago. But it looks like he's pushed through and has survived.
Rebounded.
I was a little worried for him around Christmas time. I was like, are they going to have to send him back down to get his confidence back and kind of get his minute, because his minutes had declined.
Right.
And he was really playing some sheltered minutes when he was out there. But it seems like he's regained his coach's trust and he's found his game again. And I think he had a scratch in there somewhere, and maybe that was what maybe it was even a couple that kind of spurred him along. Christian Juice, you know, I think that, you know, he's got a lot of growth still, physically and as a player. But, you know, he's smart. You can tell he's the son of a former NHL player. But, man, he's got to somehow find a way to overcome his lack of size.
Right.
And quick.
Yeah, for sure. Jacob Vrana, I was very impressed with him at the start of the season. He's been inconsistent. Rookies are inconsistent. I saw too much potential there at the start of the season to worry about his slump right now. It's not good. It's not ideal. And I understand putting him in the press box to let him sort of unwind and decompress a little bit. But, boy, when he's on, he's on, and he's an impressive player. Chandler Stephenson, you'd like to see more offensive production. He's going to be able to make a mark with his speed. It definitely caught the Flyers by surprise the other night. Ultimately, he's going to be a bottom six, more defensive sort of grinded out speed player. I like what he brings to the team. I thought everything looks better in the wake of a two-goal game. You want more offensive production, consistent offensive production, but for the most part, he is what he is, and it's a solid piece for your bottom six. Madison Bowie, as you said, he hit the rookie wall a little while ago, but he's got good vision. You saw that on the breakout pass he gave to Chandler Stephenson.
He's also got a good shot. He's got to get it on net.
He's got a great shot, but boy, does he have to – he's got to calibrate those sights because he is off target with it a lot. Once he figures it out, he's going to score a few goals. But I like his defensive IQ. I think he's going to be a solid defenseman for many years to come, solid two-way defenseman. Christian Jews, the talent is all there. The ceiling is pretty high on him, especially offensively. But if of these four players, if you want me to pick one guy I'm concerned of for come playoff time, it's Christian Jews. Because I think when the players get bigger, the players get faster. We saw what Sean Couturier did to him the other night. When coaches see that, when coaches can game plan to get their top offensive playmakers on the ice against guys like this, I'm concerned about how they will be able to exploit a guy like Christian Jews, especially if he's playing a top four role as he has been the last few weeks. But otherwise, I like the potential there. But as I said, concerned about what I could see from him in the playoffs. They got to get a defenseman because they can't have two. I'm concerned about two rookies in the top six, and I'm concerned about one of them playing a top four role.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, you and I have talked about this a lot in the past few days, and it's something that has to happen. I don't know what the answer is, Mike Green, but there needs to be a move made. They've got to gather all the cap space they can here over the next few weeks.
You got to do something about that cough. That's two straight episodes where
Mike Green.
Where you've been having some throat issues.
Yeah. I mean, it just it's funny at the All-Star game, just watching him catch up with his former Capitals teammates. At one point, he sat on the same podium as Braden Holtby. I mean, it just looked right. It felt right.
Oh gosh.
He would bring such a boost to this team. His defensive play is better than it was before. It would give you two options in terms of guys at the top of the umbrella on the power play to feed Mr. Ovechkin in the office. Whether it's Carlson or whether it's Green, one's going to be on the second unit directing traffic there, quarterbacking that unit. So.
Yep.
He knows the guys, he knows the area, he knows the system. He knows. Right. And the chemistry would be instant. And go get him.
Thank you for all of your questions you guys really brought today. These mailbag episodes are not possible without solid contributions from you, and you guys really brought it, so we really appreciate that. If you want to have your question read and answered on the next Mailbag Pod, you can send it into capitalsfaceoff@gmail.com. If you like the podcast, you can subscribe anywhere podcasts are available, and be sure to give us a good rating and review. Those things really do matter to help spread the word about the show. I've been reading those. A lot of kind words from you guys. We really appreciate it. Thank you. We're glad you're enjoying the show. We can't do it without you guys, although I do take issue with the fact that you call our jokes cheesy. I think we are two very witty individuals.
Dude, I don't even make jokes. You're the one who makes the cheesy jokes. I just kind of like laugh out of politeness. They're cheesy.
Well, thank you, Tyreek. Anyway, that is it for today's show. Enjoy the Super Bowl, everybody. For Tariq El-Bashir, this is JJ Regan.
Go Patriots.
Now let's get the puck out of here.